Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Apple shares rally despite the first holiday sales decline since 2001.
U.S.-China trade talks get underway amid new signs of Beijing's slowing economy.
Theresa May heads to Brussels to renegotiate Brexit.
Wall Street awaits earnings from Facebook and a decision from the Fed.
President Trump's own national security team undercut his claims about progress on North Korea and Islamic State. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. Tight game in Brooklyn. The Nets pulled out a win over Chicago. And close at the Garden, the Flyers won 1-0 over the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are gaining on the heels of a mixed session in Europe and one in Asia. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is lower, down 0.4%, while the CAC in Paris is higher, up 0.5%, and the FTSE 100 is up 1.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 2.72%, yield on the 2-year 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 39 cents to $53.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.70 to $13.1790 an ounce. The euro at $1.1426 and the yen at 109.41. Nathan.
Karen, shares of Apple are gaining this morning, even as holiday sales declined for the first time since 2001. And we're hearing one common refrain from analysts like John Butler with Bloomberg Intelligence. It could have been much worse.
You know, they're sort of coming in at the low end of the range in terms of their outlook. But this is a year of transition for Apple in the sense that they are up against very tough iPhone comps from the year ago quarter. So I look at an outlook like this and I think, not so bad. You know, it really could have been worse, honestly.
Revenue from iPhones tumbled 15%, while Apple posted solid growth in the services business. The results have shares up more than 5% in early trading. Robert Mayer is president of Semiconductor Advisors.
I think the stock's moving here in somewhat of a relief rally where the results aren't as bad as they could have otherwise been. I think we're seeing that out of some of the chip stocks as well.
One of those chip stocks is AMD. Its shares are up more than 8% in early trading. The second largest maker of computer processors reported profit in line with estimates and gave a rosy outlook for 2019.
Up next on the earnings front, results from 27 companies in the S&P 500, including Facebook. Sarah Friar reports from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Most of the growth, I think, we'll probably still see from the main Facebook app, which is continuing to grow in emerging markets, despite the controversies here in the U.S. What we'll be wanting to see, though, is whether those main markets have really reached a saturation point in terms of users.
In addition to Facebook, we get results today from Microsoft, Visa, and Tesla. And we do have earnings crossing the Bloomberg with Anthem saying it sees 2019 profit greater than $19, and that's better than analysts were looking for.
Also on today's schedule, a policy decision from the Federal Reserve. Here with details is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
It's the same old question on Fed Day. What will Jay say? The Fed isn't going to move interest rates, nor are there new forecasts or a new dot plot. For investors, it's all about the chairman's news conference, now happening after every meeting. Will Powell tilt more hawkish or dovish, or hew to the data-dependent policy language he's recently used? And given he'll likely face more pointed questions on the balance sheet, does he hint at any decisions on what Fed officials think the final level should be and when they think they might get there? Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. Also in Washington today, trade talks between the U.S. and China begin. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie.
The U.S. knows China's primary aim for these talks is the removal of tariffs. It's prepared to put that on the table if China commits to major changes to its economy. So far, China has only offered to tinker at the edges while pledging to buy billions of dollars of U.S. goods. But faced with a slowing economy, Beijing is under pressure to strike a deal. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Tom. And we are seeing new signs of that slowing economy in China, with at least 20 companies cutting earnings forecasts today, among them China Life Insurance, telling investors full-year figures will fall well short of expectations. Stephen Lam covers the company for Bloomberg Intelligence.
To put it into perspective, last year, the OED came out and said, okay, our earnings are going to be down like 20 and 30% or so. We were actually expecting a full-year decline of between 30 to 50, but it came out with 50 to 70.
More bleak forecasts are likely before Thursday deadline, when Chinese companies must report any expected substantial changes in financial results.
Nissan Motor is also reporting a slide in sales, its first in nearly a decade. Global deliveries fell 2.8% last year, adding to challenges for Nissan following the arrest of Carlos Ghosn. And now the former chairman is speaking out against his arrest. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Karen, it's the first interview since his arrest. Carlos Ghosn tells Japan's Nikkei newspaper his arrest for alleged financial crimes was the result of a plot by Nissan executives trying to prevent the Japanese carmaker's deeper integration with Renault, essentially a coup. Well, Nissan has long been unhappy about what it considers to be an outsized French role in the alliance. Renault owns about a 43% Nissan stake with voting rights, while Nissan has a 15% non-voting stake in Renault. A Nissan spokesman refutes the notion. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May's won backing from Parliament to reopen Brexit talks with the European Union. She now heads back to Brussels to face EU members who've already warned they won't consider her demands. Heather Conley is Senior Vice President at CSIS.
I mean, this is really, I fear, just going to lose time. And at 59 days and counting, time is not what the UK has. Theresa May will go back to Brussels, ask them to reopen the withdrawal treaty. They're not going to do that. And then we come back and say, now what?
May says she will bring a deal back by February 13th.
And we have breaking news crossing the Bloomberg out of Germany. The country cutting its growth forecast for 2019 to 1%. That's down from an estimated 1.8%. And futures are higher. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 80. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's own national security team undercut his claims on major foreign policy issues, including North Korea and Islamic State. Top aides to President Trump sat before a Senate committee yesterday and conceded that North Korea remains a critical security threat. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats says North Korea is unlikely to give up its nuclear capabilities. Coats also talked about Russian interference in other countries' political systems.
At a meeting with NATO intelligence officials, the question was raised by the director, did any of the 29 countries of Europe not see Russian influence in their countries, and particularly in the political processes of those countries? Not one person raised their hand.
Coates' comments were part of the annual worldwide threat assessment of the U.S. intelligence community. The deep freeze that's prompting dire warnings to stay indoors from the upper Midwest to the Northeast is expected to strain power grids. The National Weather Service says the cold in Chicago will rival Antarctica. The tri-state area is preparing for a deep freeze. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, we've got a shot of cold weather headed towards the tri-state area. It's going to be rather chilly between today and Friday. Good news is temperatures should moderate quite a bit over the weekend. The other good news, it's not going to be as cold as it was on MLK Jr. Day. That day we were really chilly. Temperatures will be running about 5 to 10 degrees warmer tomorrow than they did last on the 21st. High pressure in the upper plains, that's what's sending a piece of cold weather our way. It'll drift through the area the next 72 hours, and as it moves offshore, we warm up through the weekend. Michael?
Thank you, Rob. Capitol Hill negotiators officially kick off talks on a Homeland Security spending bill that has been trapped in a stalemate over a border wall wanted by President Trump. Meanwhile, a group of about 20 freshman Democrats of Congress introduced a bill to end government shutdowns for good. Michigan Representative Alyssa Slotkin.
A number of us were hearing very loudly from our districts when we went home. Why is it that government shutdowns are a tool that our government can use when they can't agree?
Former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams will deliver the Democrats' response to President Trump's State of the Union address next week.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, a close game at the Garden last night, a tight one in Brooklyn as well. At the Garden, the Rangers first came back from the All-Star break. The Flyers scored a minute 40 in, and that was it. Philadelphia over the Blue Shirts, 1-0. The Rangers coach, David Quinn.
You know, you can't start the game off that way and give up five scoring chances in one sequence and expect to survive that. You get 1-0 2 minutes into the game, but another one the rest of the game, you feel like your chances are going to be pretty good. You're going to win the hockey game, and we just weren't able to capitalize on our chances. You know, our power play, I thought, was really good. Had some great looks and just didn't cash in.
Flyers' fifth straight win ends the Rangers' three-game winning streak. A night after the Nets' six-game win streak ended in Boston, a 122-117 win over Chicago. Bulls have now lost 14-15. Damari Carroll says the close games the Nets used to lose, now victories.
I think that's been the biggest thing early on. We was losing a lot of games early on, but I think give credit to Kenny and the coaching staff and, a lot of film sessions. And these guys are learning. We're growing every day, and we just got to continue to keep growing.
Nets have won their last nine at Barclays. New Orleans playing without the still-injured Anthony Davis, who just announced a trade demand. With a 121-116 road win at Houston, James Harden, 37 points in the loss. He finishes January averaging 44 points per game for the month. The Davis trade demand has cost him $50,000 fined by the NBA. Sandy Alderson, no longer the general manager of the Mets, going back to where he built the World Series winner. Alderson hired as a front office advisor by the Oakland A's. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. You know, tickets to the Super Bowl aren't cheap, but once you get there, the food might be. Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the big game will be played, is the first facility to introduce so-called fan-first concession pricing. Slice of pizza at Mercedes-Benz, $3. Hot dog, pretzel, popcorn, drink, all $2 a piece. Those drinks get free refills. Domestic beer checks in at $5 during the Super Bowl. This is Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead of the Fed's January rate decision and the Powell news conference, we check in with Bloomberg Economics chief U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell's message today may be patient and flexible. Fed officials have called for a pause, and the delayed release of statistics due to the shutdown hasn't helped clarify trends. Shares of Apple are gaining after hints that life beyond the iPhone won't be so bad. Earnings were weak, but the outlook wasn't as bleak as anticipated. Today, Microsoft's results will probably stay strong, though Bloomberg Intelligence says results may be hit by global uncertainties. Facebook will probably beat, as expectations have come down, though pricing and currency headwinds may bite. And trade talks start today in Washington. The White House wants IP protection, an end to forced tech transfers, and strict enforcement. China may only offer to buy more crops and tweak its policies, but some economists see a more balanced relationship emerging. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. And again, Anthem reporting guidance for the year that beat analyst estimates. S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 88. NASDAQ futures up 54. The DAX in Germany down 0.3%, while the FTSE 100 up 1.3%. And the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 43 cents to $53.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.90 to $13.18.10 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's biggest claims on key foreign policy issues from North Korea to Islamic State were undercut by his own national security team.
The president's spy chief, as well as top officials from the CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and FBI, sat before a Senate committee and conceded that North Korea and Islamic State remain critical security threats to the U.S., even as the president contends that progress has been made in getting Kim Jong-un to disarm and in eradicating the extremist group in Syria. Bone-chilling Arctic air, not felt in the Midwest for decades, is descending on areas like Chicago. A wind chill of 50 below zero is forecast for tomorrow in the Windy City. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Rangers lost along with the Bruins. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it is Fed decision tape. We get a decision around 2 o'clock, followed by a Jerome Powell news conference. That's 2 o'clock Wall Street time. Joining us now with a preview, Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. He's been standing by, patient and flexible. What do you want to hear from Jerome Powell today?
Well, I'll take just that, John, patient and flexible. I think the Fed has learned an important lesson from the December meeting that the approach of less is more is not going to cut it with market participants at the moment, even though we could really take that December meeting statement, which says the Fed's only proceeding in a cautious and data-dependent fashion, even though we could take that statement and really just change the date and the messaging would work. The markets are looking for more because the notion of the Fed being a 10-eared economic cheerleader is just not going to cut it with them. And we saw that in the post-meeting route that happened in December. So the Fed is not going to be able to get away with that type of approach this time around. And they're really going to have to signal that they are attentive to what's happening, and they are certainly will be responsive if economic conditions appear to be deteriorating.
Well, can you have a tin ear when you get volatility like we've seen in the equity markets?
Well, you can have the appearance of a tin ear when you don't have a lot of economic data to look at. But that being said, we have two very different stories. So equity markets and the general tone in the financial markets have tightened relative to where we were at the start of the previous quarter. That being said, the economic data does look good. So the risk is that the Fed gets lulled into just saying, oh, everything looks hunky-dory and, you know, we can continue hiking later this year. I think they need to express a little bit more caution, a little bit more reservation about the potential fallout from that tightening of financial conditions in Q4 without sounding like they're becoming much more bearish on the economy.
Okay, so there are two fronts in focus, the rates and, of course, the balance sheet. On the balance sheet, what should the final level be, and when will they get there?
Well, that's the trillion-dollar question for policymakers, and there's an ongoing debate at the Fed, and I think there's some sense that maybe they'll come to a resolution today at the meeting, but our read of recent comments from policymakers and also the minutes of the last couple of meetings suggests that policymakers are kind of zeroing in on some conclusions about how they want to manage the balance sheet going forward, but they are simply not there yet. This is too complicated of a decision, and there's no easy answers here, so they're deciding on whether it will be a channel or a floor approach to setting policy, also what they want the composition of the balance sheet to look like in terms of Treasury versus other securities, and finally, what they want the maturity profile of the balance sheet to look like. That's too many moving parts to really be able to have come to a conclusion from December 19th to now. So the discussion's ongoing. I suspect they'll signal that we'll get some answers soon, but not today.
Okay, what else do you want to hear from Powell? What would you ask him at the news conference?
Well, I think they really are going to be grappling with this issue of how long of a pause the Fed's going to be in the middle of for the first part of this year. And so, well, what type of conditions do we need to see for that pause to come to a conclusion? And how confident are you that this is just a pause in a tightening cycle versus the peak or the end of the tightening cycle.
Carl, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. And again, our coverage starts at 2 p.m. Wall Street time with Fed Decision Day, of course, followed by the all-important news conference by the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. That'll be live on Bloomberg Radio as well as Bloomberg Television. This on a day when futures, S&P futures, up about 7 points. That's a rise of 0.3%. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is called The Best Government Shutdown Ever. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising this morning following Apple's earnings and ahead of today's Fed decision and U.S.-China trade talks.
Yeah, as for Apple, the stock's up more than 5% in early trading, despite reporting its first holiday quarter sales decline since 2001. We get more from Emily Chang in the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It didn't get much better for Apple, but it also didn't get much worse. The latest quarterly earnings for the iPhone maker suggest the company has begun to stabilize after a punishing end to 2018. Apple sales slightly beat expectations globally, but revenue fell 27% in Greater China. And iPhone revenue declined overall 15%. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emily, thank you. Shares of Advanced Micro Devices are up more than 8%. The second largest maker of computer processors gave a rosy outlook for 2019 revenue.
And we get more earnings today. 27 companies in the S&P 500 report their results, including Boeing, Microsoft, and Facebook. We get more on Facebook from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analyst expectations for the social network are relatively conservative, and Bloomberg Intelligence says Facebook is likely to exceed the forecast. But ad pricing could be pressured because most of the recent impression growth will have come from regions with lower pricing. Currency is another headwind. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. Investors will also be waiting for the Fed's first interest rate decision of the year. We get that story from Bloomberg's Vinnie DelGiudice.
Futures imply the central bank is on hold. The Fed raised rates 4 times in 2018 and has signaled it will pause to assess its strategy. Looking ahead, a Bloomberg survey of economists indicates the Fed isn't done raising rates. They see 2 more moves, June and December, to keep inflation in check. Vinnie DelGiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. On the Brexit front, Prime Minister Theresa May set to renegotiate her deal with the European Union. The EU says not so fast, with officials warning they won't consider her demands.
And Germany is cutting its forecast for growth. The country sees GDP for 2019 at 1%, down from an estimated 1.8%. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 6.5 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up about 49. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, while the FTSE 100 is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 42 cents to $53.73 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump's claims on key foreign policy issues were undercut by his own national security team. President Trump's spy chief, as well as top officials from the CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and FBI, sat before a Senate committee. They conceded that North Korea and Islamic State remain critical security threats to the U.S., even as the president contends that there is progress. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats on North Korea.
We currently assess that North Korea will seek to retain its WMD capabilities and is unlikely to completely give up its nuclear weapons and production capabilities.
Coates says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un views nuclear arms as critical to regime survival.
A House Senate Conference Committee convenes today to negotiate Homeland Security spending for the rest of the fiscal year and the future of border security. Bloomberg's Bob Moon recaps the various positions.
He says he'll compromise by calling it a border barrier, but President Trump also tweeted over the weekend, "Does anybody really think I won't build a wall?" House Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries will only go as far as a fence.
We are willing to support fencing where it makes sense.
But will Trump sign the kind of pared-down deal leaders of both parties are setting their sights on? Democratic Senator Mark Warner says it's not productive holding a shutdown over their heads.
Running government via shutdown, brinkmanship must come to an end.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is giving the talks a chance, but still thinks Trump can go around Congress by declaring an emergency.
One way or the other, we're going to start securing the border.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A deadly Arctic deep freeze has gripped the Midwest, forcing widespread closure of schools, businesses, and government offices. Ahead of the Super Bowl this weekend, unseasonably cool weather in Atlanta is creating uncertainty about the roof at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Bloomberg's Janet Wu has details from Atlanta.
The NFL has not yet decided if the roof of the stadium will be open or closed for Sunday's big game. Here's stadium general manager Scott Jenkins.
We want to have conditions that are comfortable for the fans and comfortable for the game. Obviously, if it's raining, we're not going to want to be open. Right now, the weather looks pretty good on Sunday, so I think we're in a temperature range where we could have it open.
About 70,000 ticket holders will fill the stadium on Sunday. The stadium can hold more than 75,000 people, but had to be reconfigured to accommodate all the media covering the big game.
Reporting from Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Janet Wu, Bloomberg Radio.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stashower has the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, the Nets keep winning the games they should win. It was close at Barclays against lowly Chicago. Losers of now 14 of 15, but Brooklyn pulled it out. 122-117, D'Angelo Russell with 30 points. Shabazz Napier had 5 3-pointers. He scored 24 in 25 minutes off the bench. Nets have won 7 of 8, 9 in a row at home. Lakers lost to Philadelphia, now 6-11 without LeBron James. The word is LeBron may return to the lineup tomorrow. At the Garden, the Flyers scored minute 40 in. That was it. 1-0 win over the Rangers. 38 saves and goal for Philadelphia's 6'6" New Jersey native Anthony Stolarz. From baseball, ex-Met, ex-Yankee Neil Walker signed with Miami. The Phillies have signed their former star Jimmy Rollins to work in the front office. The A's have signed as an advisor Sandy Alderson, their former GM. He just completed 8 years as GM with the Mets. From the NFL, the Giants released defensive lineman Connor Barwin. Can Tom Brady win a Super Bowl at the age of 41? He is 17 years older than Rams quarterback Jared Goff. He's 7 years older than the Rams head coach, Sean McVay.
The older you get, you know, the fewer chances you're going to have. And when I was a young player, everything happened so quick. I didn't realize how much you struggle when you don't make it. Because, you know, I went to college and we won a lot in college. And went to 2 bowl games and we won. And then we got to the Patriots and I started playing and we were winning. So in some ways, I don't think you take it for granted, but you don't appreciate how challenging it is.
Sunday in Atlanta, it's Brady's 9th Super Bowl, his 2nd chance to be the first to win 6. Remember last year the Pats lost, but Brady threw for over 500 yards. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
With high-stakes trade talks resuming in Washington, U.S. officials say any deal with China hinges on how it can be enforced. But to have any hope of success, the U.S. can't be entirely worried about whether China might cheat. It also needs to consider what conditions would best encourage Beijing to comply. U.S. negotiators need, first of all, to enter this set of talks with sensible priorities. To this point, too much emphasis has been placed on shrinking the bilateral trade deficit. It's more important to help U.S. businesses compete fairly in China by expanding their access to markets and protecting their intellectual property. The U.S. also has a responsibility to strengthen its own competitiveness. Allowing the talks to fail and fostering open-ended trade conflict with China would only weaken both countries and the global economy as well. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Congressional Democrats say they're not getting many details on the Trump administration's efforts to water down Obamacare by allowing insurers to sell cheaper short-term plans. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Democrats have been asking since last April about the administration's rule to broaden short-term limited-duration health plans.
The heads of various agencies involved in that process just haven't been forthcoming with what sort of analysis was performed.
Bloomberg Law's Chris Opfer says Democrats worry the short-term plans will increase the cost of the ACA health plans.
I think it's safe to assume that we'll see hearings in Congress on this. The Democrats certainly are trying to build a record here to show that maybe the administration didn't think this thing through fully before they issued the rule.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, small business hiring in January increased for the first time since May of last year. The Paychecks IHS Small Business Index was up slightly last month. It shows that the uncertainty caused by the government shutdown doesn't appear to have had a major negative impact on small business hiring. The Paychecks president and CEO of Marty Mucci says it is still a challenging environment for small firms that want to expand.
They don't always have the work flexibility, you know, the hours that could be more flexible for people who are looking for that. They don't have necessarily the technology people want to use, and they don't always have the benefits and the amount of benefits that somebody has, and they don't have the recruiting power and expertise usually of a large business.
Hourly earnings growth for small business workers has improved each month since August, wages now standing at an average $26.88. Wisconsin is the strongest state for small business job growth. California, the top state for small business wage growth. And that's the Small Business Report, Nate.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures 6 points higher. NASDAQ futures ahead by nearly 50. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in on the nation's capital, where negotiations get underway on border security and U.S.-China trade. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with us next. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading higher, helped by pre-market gains in Apple. Dow futures currently up 79 points. S&P's gained 7, while the NASDAQ futures climb by 51. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.72%. Oil is trading higher, and European markets are also trading higher right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change. At 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. After the bell last night, Apple earnings showed signs of stability. Shares higher by 5.5% in the pre-market. AMD reported shares trading higher by 8% pre-market. And eBay EPS beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, look for AT&T to report around 7 o'clock. Boeing 7:30 and McDonald's around 8 o'clock. In deal news, the Wall Street Journal reported that Blackstone and KKR are among the suitors for GE's aviation unit. And wrapping things up, Juniper was downgraded to underperform at Bank of America. Allergan was downgraded to equate at Morgan Stanley. And Whirlpool downgraded to underperform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right. Thank you, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And we're watching earnings from Alibaba across the Bloomberg right now. Third quarter profit beating analysts' estimates. And we'll have more on that as it becomes available. Also watching AT&T fourth quarter revenue. Looks like it missed analysts' estimates. And now it is time for more on what's going on around the world. Here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump says progress is being made on North Korea and getting the Islamic State out of Syria. However, those claims were undercut by his own national security team. Top officials from the CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and other top aides told a Senate committee yesterday that North Korea and Islamic State remain critical security threats to the U.S. Walkouts are planned today in Venezuela, a day after opposition leader Juan Guaido was barred from leaving the country while under investigation for anti-government activities. The man challenging President Nicolas Maduro's claim to the presidency is urging Venezuelans to step outside their homes and workplaces for 2 hours beginning at noon. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Rangers lost along with the Bruins. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it's kind of like a Roomba for mowing the backyard. iRobot unveiled what it calls its second act, the Terra. Just like its indoor sibling, it operates on its own and can be used with an app to schedule automatic lawn mowing and cover specific parts of the yard. Nathan, the Terra has smart mapping technology to keep it in straight lines and out of the flower beds.
And presumably off its owner's feet. I guess this is a logical next step for the Roomba maker, but... I guess I was going to ask what took him so long, but I guess you would need that smart mapping technology to make sure no one gets hurt by a self-driving lawnmower.
Yeah, but it's cute.
Yeah.
It's a little cute little thing.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:50 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Let's check what's going on in D.C. now. Some of our top stories in the nation's capital include the Fed January rate decision out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, followed by the 2:30 news conference from Chairman Jerome Powell. We will have live coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. 2 days of potentially pivotal trade talks with China get underway today, and the Congressional Committee tasked with crafting a compromise on border security meets for the first time this afternoon. Let's get more on all this from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And just now, crossing the Bloomberg terminal, Kate, a tweet from President Trump. He writes, and I quote, "If the Committee of Republicans and Democrats now meeting on border security is not discussing or contemplating a wall or physical barrier, they are wasting their time." Looks like the president's setting up the debate.
Absolutely. And I think, though, to me, the most interesting part of that is the sort of phrasing a wall or physical barrier. The president, as he's done right along with this debate, seems to be trying to kind of play both sides of this in the sense that he is coming out strong rhetorically saying that they better have a wall. But also, if you read between the lines, leaving a little bit of wiggle room for something short of a wall, i.e. border fencing, which is something that is definitely more that Democrats are more amenable to than a wall. So it seems like he's trying to reassure his base that he's not ceding ground here while actually potentially ceding some ground.
Yeah, you got to wonder whether the president is a little bit more willing to cede that ground, given that a 5-week record-setting government shutdown got him very little, if not nothing, of what he wants.
Absolutely. And I think pretty much everyone in Washington agrees that having another shutdown isn't really the way to go, to put it mildly at this point. And, we're still seeing what some of the repercussions might be. Yesterday, we heard from the head of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, who said that it might take years for the nation's air traffic infrastructure to actually fully recover from the 5-week government shutdown. So I think that, certainly there's going to be an effort to try to strike some kind of compromise. And I think even, again, reading into Trump's tweet this morning, it seems as though he's signaling that he could be open to something other than a wall. And the question, though, is whether they can find something that all the parties can agree to in the time in which they have to find an agreement, which is really not that much time, about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and not much time either for the U.S. and China to come to an agreement on trade with that March 1st deadline. Major talks getting underway later today with Vice Premier Liu He and his negotiating team.
Yeah, and this will be an interesting one to watch. I think one of the challenges heading in, and the reason why some folks are a bit skeptical, is because, by all accounts, the U.S. negotiators who have been really deeply divided on, what the U.S. position should be and what, if any, concessions, from China might get the U.S. to back off its tariffs. It seems as though those divisions are still in existence. And so, you have folks like Steven Mnuchin on one side of the coin, and then then, you know, other more hardline China folks within the administration kind of pushing to not cede any ground. And so I think that that is continuing to be a hindrance to the talks. And I think the fact that those disputes haven't been resolved, I think, makes some folks skeptical that they're going to make any real progress in this next round of negotiations.
Yeah, I guess that raises the perennial question when it comes to U.S.-China trade talks. Which side of the administration has the president's ear more, the hawks or the doves?
Exactly. And I don't think we know that yet. And so I think that that is a big question as well, is, you know, and I think something the Chinese at this point are very well aware of is, you know, even if the folks that are sitting in the room trying to hammer out a deal agree to something, that's not necessarily indicative of the fact that Trump would also agree to it. And so I think that that is an additional kind of level of difficulty that is facing these negotiations. And again, makes people pretty skeptical, given the pretty tight time frame here. We're only about a month out, that they're going to be able to, you know, reach some kind of an agreement that would extend the truce that was reached in early December.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. A host of industries are counting on the launch of ultra-fast 5G wireless networks for everything from driverless cars to remote surgical procedures. For the U.S., the rollout of 5G is considered an important international race that must be won. But no one is more dependent on getting 5G right than wireless carriers like Verizon. Verizon's earnings this week showed that the wireless industry as we know it is maturing. Investors are generally happy that Verizon is focusing almost entirely on its data network, unlike AT&T, which has used debt to get deeper into the media business. But that also means growth will be harder to come by for Verizon, since 5G won't be a reality for wireless customers until next year. So while Verizon's high-speed future is coming, it isn't here yet, and 2019 could be pretty dull for investors. They may be saying, just wake us up when 5G is finally here. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The cold may shatter records.
Temperature lows that we have never seen before.
But the response to any worries expressed by Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is the same old argument that's been circulating for years. In fact, let's rewind to something we told you here just a week ago.
Trump tweeted that it wouldn't be bad to have a little of that good old-fashioned global warming right now.
And he posted a similar message on Twitter this week. What the hell is going on with global warming? Please come back fast. We need you. By the next morning, the Climate Division of NOAA corrected the boss's fake science with a tweet of its own. Winter storms don't prove that global warming isn't happening. It linked to an explainer it had first posted back in 2015. Not only are severe snowstorms possible in a warming climate, they may even be more likely. Or perhaps Trump missed this YouTube posting from the Discovery Channel back in 2014.
So rather than quoting anecdotes and then laughing, why don't you bring the data?
It was not directed at the president. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. And again, Alibaba Group Holding reporting a 41% rise in quarterly revenue after expansion into spheres from cloud computing to entertainment offset a slowing online retail business. And we'll be watching those shares this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.